Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this current events briefing dated September 6, 2017. And in these studies, we looked at current events and judged them in light of Scripture. And at the time of this study, we saw fires raging in several states, hurricanes in Texas and Florida, and what seemed like an endless stream of trouble and disaster. Some of what we discuss is dated, but we wanted to be sure that Bible believers are informed of what is going on behind the scenes as best as we can tell. And we address the question as to whether or not God could be judging America, knowing that He will at some point, and not necessarily after the rapture, which could happen at any moment. So these studies remain relevant regardless of when the Bible believer watches or listens to them. If you have questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send those by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we join this current events briefing for September 6, 2017. This is part one of two. Luke 12, let me see if I just got them backwards there. Yeah, 54 to 57. I didn't get them backwards. I just got four should be a five. Let's start in verse 54. Luke chapter 12, verse 54. And tonight we're doing a current events topical briefing, if you want to call it that. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'd already been praying about doing something like this again. We had a current events message in August. And it was more just about the liberal war on America is what we titled it. And I was praying about doing something like this, and I've just got so many questions and emails and texts and voicemail and everything that I just decided we're going to talk about this stuff. One of the purposes of the local church, of course, we study the Word. We go through books, expository studies most of the time. But sometimes we need to zero in on a question or a topic. And right now, I want to zero in on the world, what's going on in the world. As you can see there, we have pray for Washington, pray for Oregon, pray for Montana, pray for California. Hundreds of forest fires burning out there. It's not just the damage by the fires, but some of the worst damage is being done with the smoke. People like me, if I lived out there, I'd had to have found a place to run to. The smoke and the air quality. People are being hospitalized, and they don't even know how many people have possibly even died already from the smoke. And then you have Texas and Florida. But Florida is yet to come. And so, with, huh? What?
Yet to go?
He said it's yet to come.
Yes, I say yet to go.
Oh, yet to go.
The Category 5 hurricane, possibly.
Oh, yeah, that's the big concern. So let's look in Luke 12, beginning of verse 54. And we'll see why we need to discuss these things when they come up. I'll read the even and you join in. Or no, you read the even with me and then I'll read the odd and we'll go back and forth through these. No, I tell you what, I changed my mind. Read verse 54 with me. And he said also to the people, when ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. So that's kind of like what you get with your weather forecast. But you notice it isn't like the weather forecasters predicting the path of a hurricane. The hurricane that's coming up is not known. They're pretty sure But there have been times where they've warned everybody, you're going to get hit, and then the thing goes out to sea. And that's what causes people to get careless about it, because they think, we don't even know what's going to hit us. But this time, because of what Harvey did in Houston, most people, I think, are listening in Florida. But when you see the radar, this is kind of what, in modern terms, you see the radar and the storm is bearing down on you, you don't take the family to the beach for a swim. There was one day I took the family out to the beach for a swim, and I'd looked at the radar, and there wasn't anything on the radar. 2 or 3 hours later, we were still at the beach, and this big old storm come up on us. Well, if I'd looked at the weather forecast, they said that storms would be developing. And so I missed out on that. Now, there was another time where we made big plans. And they said, just a chance of flurries, nothing big. And we woke up the next morning, there was 6 inches of snow, and it was still falling. So we had to change our plans. But what in this context, though, it's saying that there are times where you can see the weather's coming. And what do? Ignore it? You take heed. Read verse 55. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Now, you've seen the weather guys get up there, and they'll say, now there's this stream coming up from the Gulf. And they'll go, ooh, like that. And there's a green screen behind them, but they, modern technology, they put a map back there, you know. And the reason, and what they always say is, so we're going to have rising temperatures and possibly storms, because from the Gulf that also comes moisture. When it's in Ohio is the same as Israel that Jesus is talking about, that wind from the south is tropical. So that means if the wind's coming from the south, you can expect temperatures to what? Rise. And that's what he says here. There will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Now look what he says in verse 56. Read that. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Now, a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something they're not. And if you're pretending to be able to predict the weather, but then you can't predict the signs of the times, Jesus says that makes you a hypocrite. Because if you can do one, you should be able to do the other. And how many Christians do you know? The world, you know, we expect the unsaved world to be clueless. Amen? They don't have this. They don't read the Word of God. They don't have the Spirit of God. So the world, we kind of expect them to be clueless. But it's a shame that so many Christians, professing Christians, are really clueless about what's going on in the world today. I remember a conversation a few years ago where I was talking to somebody about this chipping that they're now doing rampantly. And a lady said, well, I don't see the big deal. And she's Christian. I believe her. She's Christian. I said, what do you mean you don't see the big deal? You don't see how that works into the whole mark of the beast thing? And, you know, that eventually, you know, we're all going to be marked, and a chip would get that accomplished and all this. Oh, well, you know, they've been saying that for thousands of years. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You know, Peter predicted people like you would say that, but he was talking about unbelievers. How shameful that Christians talk like unbelievers. Scorners would say, oh, they've been saying that for years and he hasn't come. And few people alive, I believe, today have any sense of discernment. The discernment is not a spiritual, mystical thing, folks. Discernment is knowing what God has said and then being able to look out at what's going on and using your Bible radar, seeing the storms coming. See? The reason why the people in Jesus' day couldn't discern was because they didn't know the Word of God. They had replaced the Word of God with the traditions of men. what was oral tradition and became Talmudic. And they knew all about the Talmudic rules and all the traditions. They didn't know the Word of God. And so, well, that's what we're dealing with today. And I just have to tell you, folks, if you try to talk about the Bible with most of the Christians you know, you're not going to have a very good conversation. And a lot of your conversation's going to be defending the fact that you know what the Bible says, and them saying, well, to me, and what I think, and what I've always been told, and well, my Jesus wouldn't. You know, that's the thing you're going to get from people. And that's the we're living in that day. The day is just like Noah, just like Lot. And the modern mainstream evangelical church is so unbiblical and out of touch that it is nearly useless. Remember Jesus talked about the salt. He said, ye are the salt of the world. Salt that has lost its savor is good for what? Useless. Is that Spanish? Is nada, is that Spanish? And the evangelical church has become salt that's lost its savor. It's become useless. I got to show you this. This is hilarious. This is just an example of what we're kind of dealing with in the evangelical church.
Wow, what an amazing sermon we just heard, church. Amen. We're going to stand this morning. We're going to sing loudly and proudly and focus in on these words and worship the lover of our souls. Let's sing together.
Oh my gosh. I love this song. I don't know it. Oh my gosh, you're going to love it.
I lift my hands and bow my knees, and you take me to the cross. I pray my heart never be.
Ah, this makes me feel so amazing.
It's definitely pretty. It's pretty lovely.
Ah, it's beautiful.
Bring me to the water, the
flowing rapids carry me.
Salty ocean waves crash,
trickling into my heart.
See.
In your grace, God, hope my grace is graceful. I
need to be drowned in grace.
To be drowned in grace, don't think about it, just sing.
Grace, the grace will lead.
Don't think about it, just sing.
Just saying grace makes no sense. It's like saying five graces doesn't mean.
No, it doesn't need to make sense. You just sing.
I'm sure of a penny.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're there.
Those are all
the roads to the promised land.
For your
trust, receive my treasure, the better. Nebuchadnezzar.
That was my grandma's favorite lyric.
Holy Spirit, Jesus, King James Bible, evangelism. Feed out my thoughts, their thoughts. Diadem and Ebenezer.
Let me tell you something. Years ago, I've been in church services where that I felt like that. And the songs made no sense. They'd repeat, was it 7-Eleven? Same seven words 11 times.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah. Right, and, but that's, I'm telling you, you know, when I met Jenny and, you know, we talk about these things, and her and the boys, they I would talk about these churches and some of them we'd been in, and they're like, what do you mean? There's actually churches like that? I'm like, yeah, there's churches like that. And I'd tell them about the preachers who would, you know, yell and carry on and throw their Bible around and not actually read it, you know? And a lot of these charismatic churches, that's the way it is. It's just, you know, they make a lot of noise. And that's all it is. And you go week in and week out in a place like that. And it's funny because we put our hymns out on the internet, and there's tens of thousands of people now listening to these hymns. We put them on some of our sermons, but we also just put them out there singles. And they'll say, that song is so incredible. I've never heard it before. And I'll jokingly respond and say, well, it was written in 1837. So, been around a while. But that's why we sing the old hymns. And once in a while, there's a new song they'll come out with that, you know, what's that one you got mad? Jenny got mad at me because on our honeymoon, I said I wanted to make sure that they sang this song at my funeral, In Christ Alone. Yeah. And she got so mad at me because I brought up my funeral on our honeymoon. But that's a song that it's about Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, about being saved. Yeah. So close out Luke 12. That's what Jesus is talking about. There's an emptiness. Verse 57, read that with me. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Well, these people that we just saw in that song and everything, they're told not to judge. And we studied this Sunday. Love in knowledge and judgment. And here, Jesus says, why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? And the modern evangelical would say, because my pastor taught me it's wrong to judge. It's not wrong to judge. It's wrong to be a hypocrite. It's wrong to judge by your own standards. You go by the Bible. And you judge righteously, and you don't judge as a hypocrite, but you judge. Amen? Amen? So with God's Word and prayer, we can discern the times, because that's what discernment is. Discernment is judging. It's looking what's going on in the world. It's looking what's going on in any situation from the biblical perspective. And saying that's either right or that's wrong, or if it may not even be a right or wrong answer, sometimes it's just knowing what's going on, what really is going on. But we do have to avoid jumping to unwarranted conclusions. And so that's kind of what we're facing these days with what's going on in the United States of America and all over the country, all over the world in some cases. And I just want to remind you of this saying, it's a quotation, but I don't know where it originates. The devil is in the extremes. How many of you heard that? The devil is in the extremes. For example, street preaching. There's one group that says, oh no, you shouldn't be out there street preaching. You have to yell at people and you're just going to push them away and all that. And then there's the other side that's out there looking at people, and if they say a woman in short shorts or something, they're like, you're a whore! And they look at everybody, you're going to hell! You know, both those extremes are wrong. But if you're on a street corner and you're preaching to a crowd, or you're preaching to people in their cars, and you're preaching how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. All you just preached is 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, and Acts 20, 21. Amen. And that is the biblical balance. And that's just an example. The devil is in the extremes. And a little reality check. People love to sing God Bless America. They love to sing that. But they never want to acknowledge that God can and does curse the wicked nations. Now think of that. Because it's absolutely true. God can and does curse the wicked nations. Think of your own country here, the United States of America. What about abortion? Genesis 4:10, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The blood of all the aborted babies in America is crying from the ground for justice. And the only question is whether that justice comes before or after the rapture, or before or after you and I pass away. That's the only question. There will be justice. When you go into Revelation and you watch 1.5 billion people killed on two different occasions, don't ask why. You should already know. There's a payday coming. There's a payday coming. Genesis 9:6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." All those innocent babies. There's been untold tens of thousands, if not into the hundreds of thousands, of infants killed after birth, after being born, infanticide. Then you got all the Jews who were killed for being God's people throughout the ages. Then you got the people who have been taken as slaves. Many of them just killed. Slave labor. Just worked till they drop dead. And on it goes. All this blood. Now, I think some of it's been accounted for. The war between the states, the Civil War. How many was it? 600,000 dead. How many died in World War I, World War II? And you say, well, it was only the Nazis that killed those Jews. Why did everybody else have to die? Because you may not know this, but the only reason the Holocaust happened was because of Great Britain and America and public schools and the secular history channels and all that. They won't tell you this. But the Nazis took power because of America and Great Britain, because of men like Henry Ford, IBM. Biggest company in the United States of America, helped Hitler take power and helped him develop weapons. And then even after the war, and even after they knew that he was killing the Jews, they refused to help the Jews. FDR wouldn't even allow them to bomb areas that would have helped the Jews escape places like Auschwitz. He had the opportunity. And then so FDR drops dead just in time for us to get a president, a little Baptist man named Harry Truman, who defied the deep state that right now is working against your president right now. And they didn't want America to recognize Israel as a nation. And Harry Truman said, "Go take a leap into the lake of fire. I recognize Israel as a nation." Amen. Because his mother had raised him to believe that that land belongs to the Jews. If FDR had been president, Israel would have never become a nation. And on and on. I'm telling you, folks, you start to learn history, you realize history is really interesting, because you and I have been fed a bunch of lies. There's some truth, but a lot of lies. Sodom and gay marriage. Genesis 13:13, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." That's true about all the Sodomites in America today. He doesn't look any less disgusted on Sodom today than he did then. Romans 1:26. This is New Testament, in case you didn't know this. People say, well, that's Old Testament. Romans 1:26, "For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." People like to call it lesbianism today. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly." Yes. consensual sex between men is wicked.
Amen.
And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. What's that? AIDS, hepatitis, domestic violence, murder, and suicide. That's the so-called gay lifestyle. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? Did not give them over to church membership. Did not endorse gay marriage. He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Boy, that's a very nice way to describe the things they do. Ends that chapter by saying, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of what? Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's the United States of America. Now, I am not calling on the government to kill homosexuals. But I am telling you that the Bible says what they do is worthy of death. And if they don't repent, they'll eternally suffer in the lake of fire. And he condemns those who know the judgment of God and know that they are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's the United States of America. That's most of the people we know, including a lot of Christians, who would defend the so-called LGBTQ rights. That's who God's talking about right there. They have all the rights that any other American has. They do not have a right to marriage. They do not have a right to adopt children. They do not have a right to access my children by being teachers. They do not have a right to serve in the military. And we could go on and on and on, and if I did, you'd probably get sick of your stomach. But that's why America deserves judgment. But I believe the judgment of God on the United States of America, which is not necessarily reserved for after the rapture, hinges on our treatment of Israel. And that's why we've handed out these books. This is the last one we got. If anybody wants one, Lewis, come on down. Come on down. You're the next contestant on
The Bible is Right.
Oh, you can go home tomorrow. You can tell your folks you see tomorrow and say, well, we had church last night. Brother Lewis is running the aisles. As America has done to Israel. And we also, that's a little chick track we passed out, a few thousand of those. This is the fellow who wrote that book, John McTernan. He was reporting that a senior White House official told the Israeli paper, Haaretz, that Trump plans to meet with a long list of world leaders on a wide range of issues during the General Assembly session of the United Nations in New York. And a complete list will be published once his schedule is finalized. He added that talks with Netanyahu and Abbas about Trump's peace initiative will take place before the General Assembly and will continue afterwards. And they're setting up the first meetings from September 17 and 19. We'll come back to this in just a minute and I'll show you the sad truth about those meetings. But I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 12 for a little 5-minute review here of something that's very important. The reason why I say that I believe the judgment of God on the United States of America hinges on our treatment of Israel